We're just okay and we play some movies. We're just okay.
Movie watchers.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Just Okay Movies. I'm your host, Biggie Size, and I'm here with...
Guido.
Guido, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. My right foot feels like it's bruised because I was digging with a spade today.
Oh, geez.
You ever dig with a spade before?
Yeah. When you stick it in the ground, you got to kick it a little bit. And
right.
That'll wear on you before you know it.
Oh, yeah. I was doing it for quite a few hours. So I'm walking with a little bit of a limp. That's no fun.
Was the ground like kind of rocky?
No, it was pretty good soil. I think because there were a lot of holes dug around it.
Okay.
So it kind of loosened it up, I think.
Cool. Yeah. Now, I think the times I had to, other than helping put like some fences and stuff, like burying our dogs, we had so many dogs because we lived out in the country. So people would drop off dogs all the time and they would kind of like join our collective. So we kept like a steady 20 dogs at a time and they would just kind of die off. And so I have to go bury them. And then another one would join the pack. Then the oldest one then would die. I'd have to bury them. And it would keep going for most of my life. And I hated it, especially like the larger dogs, because the ground was so rocky around our area. Because we were like on the side of a mountain. And using that spade and try to get like super deep. Because then if you didn't do it deep enough, coyotes would come in and dig them up.
Oh, those damn coyotes.
Those damn coyotes, man. I'd hear them like howling. I'm like, oh, they better not get the Lucy. I'm going to be pissed.
I have a very sad story about digging a grave for a dog, but I don't think I'll share it here.
Unless you really don't want to share it, I would love to hear it.
Oh, yeah?
You go for it. This is gold.
Oh, yeah? This is good content here?
This is great content. Tell a story
about how I buried a dog.
Yes.
So I had a dog, a golden retriever named Cody, and I got him when I was a junior in high school or something. And I trained him off leash. Super good dog.
Wow.
Wouldn't leave the yard. Came to commands. Just a very good dog. Trained him. I moved out then, and then my dad took him over and formed a bond with him.
Oh.
For many years, he lived until he was like 14, Cody. And wow. My dad calls me up. He's like, hey, I think we got to put Cody down. And I go over there and it's me and my pops. And he's like, we got to dig the grave because he called the vet to come to the house. That's how much I cared about this dog. Called the vet to come to the house to put it down. So it wasn't in like, you know, a veterinary clinic. And it was unfamiliar and scared. So right when I get there, there's a crack, giant crack of thunder. And it just starts pouring. And we're out there digging a hole and it's just filling up with water. And we're all just soaking wet. And it's like something out of a movie because it's lightning and thunder, pouring rain. My dad's sobbing because he lost his best friend. And they were just like digging this hole. And it feels like, you know, it's just one of those times that I'm not ever going to forget digging that grave.
Oh, no.
And it's just filling with water. And then I'm trying to bail the water out while he's digging. And it was just, yeah, it was rough. So I did like, he went inside to go take care of the dog to put it down. And I stayed outside and kind of like, cause the rain was letting up. I bailed out the grave, made sure it was as dry as I could so that when he brought it out, you know, it wasn't, traumatic. He's not putting the dog in a puddle. And then we covered it up. Sad story about burying a dog.
Oh, that is painful. I could just like, I can visualize it. Like, oh,
Yeah, crack of thunder, lightning, flash, and it was like kind of dark out because it was late fall, so it got dark early. And it was just, just one of those things where you, I wonder what someone would have thought if they looked out their back window and saw these two men in a thunderstorm just digging a grave in their backyard. Oh,
goodness. No. Oh, that's so, boy, man, that hits you right in the feels, man. Yeah. Bless your heart. Well,
but hey, happy Wednesday, everybody.
Happy Wednesday. Thank you for sharing that. Well, you know, have you watched any movies or anything lately?
I just finished watching Old Yeller.
Oh, that would have been a good transition.
Oh, would have been. That's perfect. Yeah. Nuts.
Yeah. That... oh, well.
No, I don't think I've ever seen Old Yeller.
I never have either. You know, it's one of those movies that you always hear. Like, I don't know if I've ever heard someone say, I saw it and I was like, thought it was a really good movie. I always hear it made me cry at the end. You know, that's always the next thing after you say, I saw Old Yeller. And I never have either. I think after I heard it was about, you know, a dog that everyone loved and then dies at the end, spoiler alert, I was like, I kind of feel like I know what I'm getting into, and I'm good. You know, the dog dies. Sure. It's a sad moment. I don't know if I want to live through it on screen. Marley and Me. Oh yeah. Well, I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Well, spoiler alert.
Is that what happens in Marley? That's how they always go.
Except for Air Bud. If you're going in to see a movie where the dog is a main protagonist, it's probably going to bite the bucket.
Oh my God, though. That would be hilarious. Like that kind of high octane, like dog film. It just stops on a dime. It gets like,
yeah, he shoots the buzzer beater and he just fucking croaks on the court there. Someone has to carry his corpse out. But everybody doesn't know how to feel because they're happy they won the game.
They're all like, yeah, he hits the shot. They're all cheering and like hugging each other. And like they put him up in the air and bounce him around, but they don't realize he's dead.
That's rough.
I love it, man. Dude, that's some good shit. Well, I haven't really watched anything myself.
I didn't really watch Old Yeller, as I just...
Oh, I think... What have you watched?
I did just finish watching Infinity War again.
Oh, so what did you think about your... Is this your second time or
third? Yeah, it was my second time. And, man, it just reinforces my feelings on that movie. The pacing on it is so great. And there's so much that happens, and it never feels rushed, and it never feels slow to the point where it's boring.
Right.
Everybody got their fair amount of screen time. The only thing that I kind of had an issue with upon second watch was like Banner's mannerisms. The Bannerisms. Really?
The Bannerisms. Okay. In what way? Or any particular scene that got your goat?
Anytime he's like in the suit, especially when he opened the helmet, it didn't look great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But two, it's just like he turned into this weird comedic character. Sure. You know? And he offers nothing at this point in a giant battle. You need to get rid of him. You need to send him away. Even if you put him in the Hulkbuster suit, it's just like anybody could be in that Hulkbuster suit. Why don't you put like a trained soldier in there?
Sure.
Instead of fucking Bruce Banner. But also just like some of the little funny quips that he said, it makes you roll your eyes a little, I feel. It just wasn't perfect. That's what it is.
I totally agree. And I think that was probably one of the areas I was most disappointed in. And I know that was the big question that they kind of got out of the way was, you know, Hulk is next to indestructible. You know, how is he going to do against Thanos? And I mean, very beginning of the film, he gets his ass handed to him and apparently freaks him the fuck out that he can't turn the Hulk anymore. But, you know, Bruce Banner as a character is okay, but I always felt he was just more of a vehicle to become the Hulk. And when he can't do that one thing, I just kind of don't give a fuck about him. And I don't think that's necessarily our fault.
There's some really cool Bruce Banners, like dark Bruce Banners, where in situations like this in the comics before, the Hulk wouldn't come out, or he can't change into him. So Banner, in some instances, would like put himself in harm's way to the point where there's a bit in one of the books where he grabs a gun and pulls the trigger in his mouth.
Whoa.
And Hulk, he changes into the Hulk because Hulk, if Banner dies, Hulk dies.
Right.
So, and then fucking Hulk spits out the bullet and he's all pissed and shit.
Wow, that is dark. Jeez. So,
maybe something like that'll happen in the movie. That'd be dope. I doubt that the Disney movie is going to take it that far, but.
Yeah, if they got mad about James Gunn's pee-pee tweets, then yeah, they may not be too thrilled about the Hulk kind of committing suicide. I can agree with that, but I would agree. I think the Bruce Banner stuff, even though I like the character a lot, I just he felt weird and he felt very out of place. Like I almost would have preferred that he got knocked so hard he went into a coma or something. I think I would have enjoyed that more. And in fact, speaking of having someone different inside the Hulkbuster suit, I kind of would have liked to have seen the Wakanda sister girl. That would have been kind of fun.
Yeah, that would have been kind of fun.
I don't know. I forgot what the fuck she was doing through that whole thing. Fixing.
She was trying to remove the stone from a Vision's head.
Right. Right.
Which and I she think, ultimately oh, failed ahead. At. She ultimately exactly. failed. And then the one guy bust in and just manhandled her. That was it for her in the movie. But you don't know if she dusted or not.
Oh. Wait, which one is it? Is it the, oh my gosh, because they're so close together. The flying part where he like takes control of the flying ship. Is that in Infinity War or was that Black Panther?
Where who takes control of the flying ship?
It was one of those guys where he like gets in that virtual reality thingy and flies the ship around.
Oh.
You remember that part? Was that
Infinity
War?
Yeah, that was Black Panther.
Okay, that was Black Panther.
Martin Freeman's character in Black Panther did that.
That's right. Because I was trying to remember if he was in that scene as well. But no, that was Black Panther. But I think the Vision part was the only one that really bothered me. They just hit those tones too many times with him and the Scarlet Witch girl.
Vision like, was absolutely whole, like, useless in this movie.
And that was so sad because at Age of Ultron, he just seemed so cool. I'm like, all right, we can see him do something, but he's just kind of lovesick and gets his ass handed to him the entire film. And it's just disappointing. Such a letdown.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. He just seemed like he would kind of be a bit OP. So I guess it's kind of nice that he kind of got beat up on. And you know, he was cool. The actor who plays him is fantastic. So they did a good job. It's just kind of, I feel like those moments, as well as what you mentioned with Bruce Banner kind of acting a little goofy, kind of put some road bumps, so small little like potholes in the film.
Oh, nothing very tiny. The movie holds up well.
Oh, yeah. That is the only one I really wanted to go back. I really want to rewatch because I agree. I mean, it's just a miracle that they were able to pull that film off almost just flawlessly.
I have some movie news. Would you want to discuss that real quick?
I actually have some as well. That's a good point. Go
I
ahead.
I wonder if our movie news is the same news.
Possibly. You go ahead, sir.
Okay.
What you got?
So the one and only Academy. You aware of this? Academy?
The Academy?
A statue called the Oscar.
Yeah, it's a little thing. May have heard of it.
Right.
No, it's not a big deal.
In an attempt to get more people to watch the show, they have said that they're going to hit 3 hours. They're hitting 3 hours, in and out, done. But that's not the big news. The big news is that they're adding a category to the Oscars, and that category is the popular film category.
And that is so... That's so fascinating. It's like, did they set any kind of parameters around what they're considered to be a popular movie? Does it just have to reach a certain threshold?
They said more details to come regarding how they're going to judge it. Because there's so many questions. Like, if it's the most popular movie, wouldn't it just be the one that made the most money domestically?
Right. Right. Well, that's what you imagine, or else why would it not be considered to be the best film? That's right. So weird. You have the most popular film and best film. So in another dimension, Infinity War could count for both. There's no way Infinity War would go the best film. That's definitely not winning. At least from the previous track record, it's not there. Exactly. Right. That's just so strange.
It's they're trying to get a new audience.
Right. Right.
You think of the winners of the last 2 years. You have The Shape of Water, which is about a deaf lady fucking a fish.
Right.
As the best picture.
Pretty much.
Right. And then you have Moonlight the year before, which is about like an inner city black kid that grows up as a closeted homosexual, and he has to deal with this as he becomes a drug dealer. And like, those are two movies that don't really appeal to a large audience.
And your description of that film makes it sound way more exciting than it really is. God, that movie bored me to tears. But you're totally right. You know, there's been like little glimpses of films that may have even just been nominated that I would say would have a wide appeal. But you're right. Most of those winners, they're kind of, they're not going to be your most popular film. So I guess in that light, it does make sense. But it just feels like it tarnishes that best picture a little bit more.
It tarnishes the whole brand, in my opinion.
Oh, and that's a good point. You know, and I can see why you would think that.
It becomes like a MTV movie award. Like,
you know, that's a good point.
Now you're going to win Outstanding Achievement in Popular Film. it just doesn't roll off the tongue. And they got to release the criteria for what this means, because, like, is it just going to be the top 7 grossing films and then the Academy watches those and decides which one was technically the best movie of those? Like, I don't know. I can't understand what this is going to be.
Oh, my God. I hadn't even thought about it in that way. Because, yeah, if you're saying most popular, then it would hands down go to the one that most of the people saw, even if it was garbage, if you're saying most popular. You know, that makes total sense. There's no subjectivity there.
What can you judge of the most popular film? I don't get it. It's strange. Academy is swerved.
I just think it shits on the best picture. Like, oh, you may have been the best picture, but you didn't make near as much money as this film. So, I agree. I didn't think about it quite the way you explained it, but it does make it feel like a Teen Choice Awards or a Spike Movie Awards, that kind of thing, where it's more about the spectacle than necessarily looking at it in an artistic, subjective lens and deciding which one truly is just a little bit better than the other.
It's there to hit the millennial audience, really.
Right. 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 Well, I don't think I would still watch it. I mean, unless we were going to talk about it. Like, I... to me, I don't want to watch it. I just want to see what the results are. I'm not, if they're trying to get me to actually sit down and watch it, I don't think just adding one more category with some more relevant pictures is really going to win me over. I'd rather them just stick to their formula, you know, get some, maybe get some broader films, but to make such a odd and very to the point category, like popular film, it sounds like they're just throwing something at the wall to see if it sticks, when I don't think they really have to do that. Just broaden their horizons a little bit in the categories they have.
Yeah.
But still, you know, it's an industry. I think it's one thing that Red Letter Media did such a good job of explaining. You know, this isn't the whole world agrees. This is the best movie of all time. It's an industry award ceremony. It's for the industry. It's not for the entire public to bow down to this one film, that this is the film of our year. It's an industry award show that is super popular and is there to make advertising dollars and puff up some egos. You know, we can't take it way too seriously. And maybe that's something they're doing, is now they're taking it way too serious. But I don't know. That's interesting. Well my movie... Oh, yeah, it wasn't that, movie? Although I did see that, and that was fascinating. I saw where Roku now has a free streaming service, and there's actually some pretty decent movies on it. You know, right now, for movie streaming for free, we have Pirate, and we have Crackle. And now we got a third one that had some all right movies. It's got the Matrix trilogy on it. It has some TV shows that are older but are still kind of interesting. I really like what they're doing with this. On-demand film watching with some advertising, I'm fine with that. But as long as it's on-demand and, you know, I don't have to either DVR it, have a DVR to DVR it, or have like a subscription, you know, this is a good middle ground. And I think it's a good concept. And I really hope Roku does a better job at curating their movie selection than Crackle's done.
Do you own a Roku?
I don't. And you can actually, and I should have mentioned that as well, you can just go to Roku. I guess it's on Roku.com. You can go on your smartphone, on your computer to watch. You don't have to have a Roku to access it.
Oh, wow.
So it's free and available for anyone to go on to. I've only just kind of glanced around to see what they have, but I'm happy for it. I think more, you know, even Netflix, I think they should even consider doing a model like this. You know, maybe gate off some of their original content to paid subscriptions, and then just have some films that are, you know, maybe a little bit older, and just have it under a advertising wall. I think it's a good model. And, you know, if there's something good to do, if they're trying to head off the piracy, this is a good middle ground. But I thought it was pretty cool.
You'd think that the movie production studios would be all over anything that would get them money, you know, even with these old movies that people aren't seeking out. If they're just sitting there, and the DVD sales have dropped dramatically, and Netflix doesn't want them, then do something with them and just pop an advertisement every hour of the movie, and, you know, get some money that way.
Absolutely. I even think we should do this for new release films. Honestly, I know we've talked about this all the time, but I'm just so tired of going to the theater for films that are not like Infinity War caliber, or are a true like cinematic experience that would be most enjoyed inside the theater. You know, if I want to see like a more artistic film, I would like to go to the theater to watch it. Maybe a smaller theater, not like a Megaplex, where, you know, they have much higher overhead and that film's not going to do jack shit for them. But, you know, going to like a smaller theater that shows some older films and stuff, if you would like to get in that setting, that's perfectly fine. But like those, and then the big ones, I want to go to a Megaplex. I want to see Infinity War, Star Wars 9, all those in a big theater, biggest screen you've got, the most watts in your speakers that you can offer. But like, what sucks is those middle of the road films that I would kind of like to see, but I don't want to go all the way to the theater to see, you know. And then I end up, just watching a cam online, one's making money. I hate it too. I hate doing it, but I really just don't want to go pay $20 to go see an okay film, and I'm not going to care how large the screen is or how good the sound is, and I'm having to go out of my way to see this with a bunch of other people who are either on their phones, coughing, talking, all of the above, and I've just paid, you know, this much money to see a film that I'm just mildly curious about. I really think studios need to just start either going the Netflix route, doing maybe same day, start with that, you know, maybe it's out in theaters, then a week later it's on Netflix. That'd be perfect. You know, if they want to try to do that middle of the ground thing, but honestly, I think smaller films should just ditch theaters completely and go straight to a streaming service. I think it would help them not have to worry about people like myself either downloading it or watching it online. I think people would be happier with the films. In all honesty, I think people would be more kinder to shit films if they don't have to go out of their way and watch it. But
It's still a time thing. It's still, you're putting time into a movie that's not good. Time is money.
Right. I totally agree. But no, I haven't really been, what I have been watching lately, and it's a film I also want to talk about. I want us to watch, because I don't know, I'm sure it's a terrible film, but when I was out on business, I sat in my hotel room, you know, whenever I got back from work, so I just had Twitch on all the time, and they were doing a He-Man marathon. So I was watching, like, I've never seen the He-Man cartoon before, and I was sitting and watching, and I was like, oh my God, this is like a great cartoon. Like, I was just having a blast going through this marathon. And I was like, didn't they make a He-Man movie? And I started looking back, and they did. What was it, like the late 80s, early 90s? It was Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren as the lead actor. And that blew my mind. Have you seen it?
No, I don't think I have.
Then we might need to sit and watch that because it looks pretty god awful, but I'm curious about it. And that's really all I've been watching. Is I could just see myself if I was, I think the cartoon started in 83 and I wasn't born at that point, but I was like, man, as a little kid, I would have really dug this cartoon. I dig it now. It's a fun little show. And we might have to sit and watch that movie just to see Dolph Lundgren play as He-Man. That kind of baffles my mind a little bit. Oh boy, indeed. Well, I think that just about wraps up our episode, unless you got something else you want to share.
No, I think I'm pretty good. Go watch Old Dogs.
It's been a popular episode. People have been digging it. We got a bunch of listeners next day. I was thrilled. Thank you guys for listening. We had a lot of fun watching it, and we had a good time talking about it. Guido was like so thrilled to talk about it on that episode. And dude, I enjoyed every second of it.
I'm just so happy I got to share my passion for Old Dogs with you guys.
Well, I want to go ahead and do an email. And we're going to actually handle this email next episode. And I want audience participation. I really would love to hear some voicemails, get some emails about this one, because I think we can all relate. I guess almost going back to my talking about He-Man, you'll see what I mean here in a second. The email's title is I Challenge You. And the person who sent the email is actually my little sister, Mandolin Waters. And she's actually... My little sister's so funny. She absolutely loves our podcast. She's like, I love those guys you do the podcast with. I'm like, I love them too. They're great. And here's the email. Yeah, she's a sweetheart. Hey, Just Okay Movies. So I have a challenge for you guys.
I want each of you to find a live action movie based off a cartoon or anime that is worse than the shit show that is the 2010 movie Last Airbender. If you wish to accept, oh, she spelled accept wrong. If you wish to accept this mission, you have until the end of July to complete it. Good luck.
Go.
Oh, sorry, Mandy. I didn't read that part when you sent it. So we fucked that one up. That's okay. But it's a great question, because I have a feeling all of us have had either a cartoon or an anime or something like that that we really liked. And there's been all kinds of live action renditions of cartoons and stuff like that. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say the majority of them are crap. And it's I think we can have a real fascinating discussion on why that is. But we're going to save that for next week. So I know I haven't seen The Last Airbender. I'm familiar with the cartoon. It's a cute little show. I just never really got into it. But definitely knew it, heard how awful it was. Gosh, and
I'm just thinking off the top of my head, there's so many horrible movies based off of cartoons.
You go all the way back to, oh my God, I think like the Popeye one, the Rocky and Bullwinkle one, if you're just wanting to go with like old cartoons redone, Flintstones. I mean, not to say that any of those are worse than Last Airbender. And I haven't seen the Last Airbender movie. And it's M. Night Shyamalan. I think that happened about the time when we started realizing he wasn't quite as good of a director as we thought he'd be. I think that was kind of getting to that tipping point.
Was it already past that? Yeah.
What would you say that point was? The Happening.
Yeah, The Happening and The Happening. I don't know which one came first, though.
That's a good question. I'm going to say The Happening happened first. I would say, I'm going to guess 2008. If Last Airbender was 2010, I think the one movie that was
2008. Good job.
Was it? Oh, I just a guess. I was thinking that was a point where it's like, oh, that movie was bad. Like, maybe that's his one really bad movie. But really, he was starting to show issues before then. Like, The Village was okay. It wasn't great. What's the movie with Mel Gibson? Signs was okay. You know, it was Signs like, good, okay, man. That's not too bad. I think I liked it. It definitely, I went into it expecting another, I think like probably a lot of people did, expecting another Sixth Sense at that point. That wasn't his next, I think the one after Sixth Sense was Unbreakable, and that was pretty good.
Unbreakable is great. I love Unbreakable.
Yeah, it's a solid movie. And speaking of that, they're making a Glass movie, standalone film. Yeah. I'm pretty excited about that. It's going to be great. Samuel Jackson, hopefully he'll go batshit crazy. That's what I want to see.
Have you seen Split?
I haven't, no.
Oh, yeah, that's with James McAvoy. He has multiple personalities. The big twist, spoiler alert, is, and you kind of gather this from the trailer, so it's not a huge spoiler, but... Sure. He has multiple personalities. He turns into this beast at the end, which is like his ultimate personality. And there's at the very end, there's a news report on the thing on the TV in a bar or a diner. And it pans over and it's Bruce Willis watching it. So it like the twist is that it's in the same universe. So Glass is actually the third movie of this universe.
Wow, really? Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know Split was a M. Night Shyamalan film.
Yeah, it's pretty good too. He's coming back. He's doing better now.
Well, apparently the last film he made, I think it was a fairly low budget film. I know it was a horror film where the little kids go hang out with their grandparents for like the weekend and you find out the grandparents visit. The Visit, that's it. I've heard that was actually pretty decent.
Yeah, he's what I heard, better.
Yeah, yeah. I think smaller projects. It sounds like he does well in those small environments, and maybe he'll build himself back up. Poor guy. I hate it for him. You know, he had such huge hype around Sixth Sense, and then everyone, well, I'm kind of shitting on him now too, but everyone started shitting on him. And maybe he just needs, you know, a little bit of encouragement. Maybe that little film success, however small it may have been, was enough to kind of get the juices working again. At least that's what I hope. But next week we'll be talking about the worst live action films based off cartoons and anime. So please send us an email of you know, if you want to just tell us which one was a disappointment, or hell, tell us if there's one you really enjoyed that you thought was a really good rendition of a cartoon or an anime. Send it to us at justokmovies@gmail.com. You can also go to justokmovies.com. Bottom of the page, we have our phone number. So you leave us a voicemail if you prefer. But
I think my biggest problem with this task is I don't watch those movies, especially anymore. Like, I saw Flintstones when I was younger, but they weren't as heavily produced or made back then as they are right now. So, like, right. You tell me Scooby-Doo or Garfield or something. I didn't watch that shit. So I'm going to have a hard time picking out which one's the worst.
I totally understand. I need to go and watch Last Airbender and see exactly how bad it is.
You don't have to do it.
To make sure I'm giving a correct answer, because I might end up loving Last Airbender, and then, I mean, it's quite possible. I hear it's really bad, but it could be great and just misunderstood. So we'll find out next week what I think of it. But I already have one that I'm pretty sure is worse. Now, the question will then be, is it objectively or subjectively worse? And that's where this discussion gets very fascinating. Is, you know, it's tough to make a film that's animated because you have so many possibilities when you're working with an animated film that you just doesn't translate very well into a live action scenario, unless it's just something just very original. Like, I kind of think of a really good one is the Who Framed Roger Rabbit, even though that's kind of a hybrid. That's maybe not be completely fair, but in that environment, it works really well. But then you take something like, I know one of the more disappointing ones, and I was going to say it's my disappointing one, is the Dragon Ball live action film that they made. I love Dragon Ball. I don't really like anime, but I really enjoy Dragon Ball, and it was terrible. But we'll go more into that next week before I start just sharing everything. But guys, thank you so much for listening. Guido, thank you for joining me. This has been a blast, as always. And we'll talk to you next week. All right, take care.
Bye-bye.